This summer, famous and forgotten, some of these characters from the Old Testament. And today, Jonah. I have good news and bad news for you. The bad news is we're not going to be able to do all four chapters. I'm so sorry. We just don't have that much time. But the good news is we're going to really dig into the second chapter where Jonah is praying. That's the part I want to lift out today. To get to the second chapter, though, I want to give you a quick review of chapter 1. You know this story, even if from when you were a kid. There's some little details there that are so fascinating, though. Slow down and take those in. Sometimes the true meaning of these Bible stories, it's in the details. And I think this is one of those. Jonah is called by God to go preach in the city of Nineveh, but he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go not because he's got better things to do. He doesn't want to go because Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, and the Assyrians are the sworn enemies of the Hebrews. They are the arch enemies of the Israelites. And Jonah knows that God is merciful. And he knows that God is most likely going to show mercy on the Assyrians, on the Ninevites. And Jonah doesn't want God to show mercy on the Assyrians, on the Ninevites, because the Assyrians have done some yucky things to the Israelites. So Jonah doesn't want to participate in the redemption of people who have been unkind and mean and harsh toward the Israelites. So Jonah goes the other way. He gets on a boat and goes in the opposite direction. And if you read those little details in the first chapter, look for the word down, because that's the great storyteller that the author of this book is. He says that Jonah goes down to the coast where he gets on a boat. And then when things start happening on the boat, Jonah goes down into the belly of the boat. Little details. Jonah is descending, descending, descending. And we're going to see him go down into the belly of the great fish. The storyteller is describing for us what it's like to go away from God. And I think you know this, that Jonah is aware that he can't escape God's presence, but what he is doing is trying to get away from any claim that God has on his life. He wants to do things his way and not God's way. And this is great. In chapter 1, you get to read about how God chases Jonah down. He pursues Jonah. He arranges all of these circumstances. The storm and the sailors crying out, how they cast lots and the lot falls on Jonah, and everybody discovers that Jonah is a problem. He admits to it, and then he's thrown over. Jonah, two times now, has chosen disobedience. First, getting on the boat, and then second, asking to be thrown off the boat. It is because he would rather die than do it God's way. And yet, even with a rebellious heart like Jonah's, God still pursues him. Isn't that great? The God never says of Jonah, well, I guess I'm done with you. God keeps chasing. God keeps arranging circumstances. And in verse 17, we see the greatest circumstance yet. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah up. And that's where we pick up today. I'm going to start with the very last words of chapter 1 and then read through chapter 2. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep and into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How hard-hearted is Jonah? Scholars have made the case that it took Jonah 3 days to pray. Then Jonah prayed. 3 days to admit that he was wrong and that God was right. I just want to take a quick poll of the room. How many of you believe that you are that stubborn? How many of you are sitting with someone that you believe is that stubborn? Got more hands on that one. A lot of us have waited longer than 3 days to admit we were wrong. And I'd like to think that if I was in Jonah's shoes or sandals, I might be more quick to pray, but probably not, because the human heart and all that. And when Jonah finally does pray, it is a great prayer. The reason I want to focus on this prayer is because it is a strange mixture of psalms that Jonah knows by heart, infused with words that describe his particular circumstance. I want to pause for a minute and say something about that. Because when Jonah needs to pray, he goes back to the prayers that he already knows. And you and I can do the same thing. You should know that whatever kind of day you're having, whatever kind of circumstance you're in, be it the highest of highs or the lowest of lows, there are psalms that God has given us to pray in those circumstances. It's like the God of the universe who created us and knew what emotional creatures we are would give us words that we can pray when we're walking on the clouds. And God would give us words to pray when we're crawling in the valley. Because God wants to hear our prayers. Because God wants us to be connected to Him. And so why wouldn't God supply us with words that can get us started in our prayers? Let me give you a couple of examples of this. If you are joyful today, then you can pray Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Or maybe you're not at that end of the spectrum today. Maybe you're at the other end of the spectrum. If you are absolutely torn up, and you can pray Psalm 6. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. There's something for us in the midst of that kind of range, because God knows that's the range of human life. Do you want to tell you something else that God knows? There are 150 psalms, and all of them are right here in this range. Did you know that every single one of those psalms almost turns the corner at some point? When I say turns the corner, it may be as bad as Psalm 6, but it eventually turns the corner and says, "But you, O Lord, are worthy of praise." Or to ascribe something positive to God, I said all of them except for one. Do you know there's a psalm that is so dark it never turns the corner? There's a psalm that never gets around to saying something good about God. Do you know why that one is included? Because God knows the range of human emotion. And God knows that there would be days like this, and there would be days like this, and that there will be days that are even outside of our desire to say anything positive about God. There's a prayer for that. Did you do something awful and you're sorry? Pray Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my sin. Do you ever feel abandoned by God? Jesus did. Do you know what he did when he was looking for a prayer of abandonment? From the cross. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? We could keep going and going, but the point I'm making is that Jonah, when he prays, he goes to the Psalms. If you study this chapter, study it deeply, you can see that it is a mixture of psalms from various places cobbled together with Jonah's own words. Did you know that there's a prayer for somebody who felt like the waters had closed in over me to take my life? Did you know that there's a prayer when weeds are wrapped around your head? Jonah went into this situation prepared to pray. And when he prays, he turns to the Psalms. Now, as he's doing that, I want you to notice a couple things about what he prays, because you may need this. This is a prayer of a person who wants to stop running from God. If you ever find yourself in that situation, running from God or running from God's claim on your life, then it makes sense for us to pay attention. Here's a prayer of a person who has realized that doing it his way is not working. And so he's ready to turn his rebellious heart over to God. Someone like that can pray a prayer that is very honest. Jonah's grasp on this situation is very astute, because he lays out what it is that has happened. He begins with honesty, and then he moves from there to repentance. And do you know the difference in those two things? Between offering a prayer that is honest and offering a prayer that is repentant? Jonah gets around to repentance and even says, God, you are just in what you have done. I am right. You are right to have done what you have done. This is one of those prayers that does turn the corner, because Jonah in verse 9 finally gets around to being thankful. But I want you to notice this too. Jonah doesn't wait until he's spit up on the dry land to start thanking God. Do you know where his praise of thanks comes? It comes from the depth of his situation. I think that's instructive for us, isn't it? Don't wait until you're delivered. Start thanking God for deliverance. Jonah does all the right things. This prayer is a prayer of recommitment. I will sacrifice, and what I have vowed, I will pay. That means, I don't know if you've ever done this, Jonah made some kind of deal with God. What I have vowed, what I've promised. Jonah made a promise to God. If you get me out of this situation, then I will. I have a hunch, it doesn't say it explicitly, but I have a hunch that Jonah said, okay, if you deliver me, I will go and do what you told me to do. And then this prayer, this is an amazing part of this prayer that I don't even know that Jonah understood what was going on, but this prayer solidly points to Jesus. And it may sound a little bit funny to say that Jonah in the Old Testament prays about Jesus, but you see it in the last line of the prayer, salvation belongs to the Lord. I try not to bore you all with Hebrew, but it's important here. The prayer ends in Hebrew, Yeshuata le Yahweh. Yeshuata is Yeshua, which is Jesus. Le Yahweh means Yahweh is God. And so what Jonah is praying is, God, save us in Jesus. His prayer is not just a prayer to deliver him out of a specific circumstance, but his prayer is a prayer that God would deliver us out of the circumstance of needing salvation through a Messiah. Jonah knows that salvation is needed, and he knows the Messiah is the way that it will come. Yeshuata le Yahweh. Now, we've already seen in our review of chapter 1 the character of the God who's chasing Jonah down even when he rebels. God does that for you and for me too. And now we see the kind of thing that we do when we are ready to lay down our rebellion and do it God's way. And I don't know how far down the road you are or have been, but it may be that doing it your way over and over again has led to the belly of a fish experience. That is no place to be. But if you are at that end of the spectrum, then here are some words for you. You can start with this prayer. You can be honest about how you're running away. You can be repentant and agree with God that you need to be forgiven. You can be thankful for the grace that you do not deserve. And you can recommit and return to the calling you know God has placed on your life. And today we know Yeshuata le Yahweh, that the way God answers that prayer is through his Son Jesus. And so we cling to him. In the name of